So this morning, I thought we would look at five things that Jesus put into the disciples' Easter basket. We'll just call it an Easter basket for sake because it's Easter and okay. Just kind of work with me, guys, just a little bit, all right? So as I was looking through the scriptures, and I had this whole sermon planned out. And I started on it about 6 weeks ago, and for today, and then yesterday I sat down to do the final, you know, get it all ready to roll, and God said, "Throw it out." See, you guys are laughing. Let me just help you for a moment. I didn't see the humor in it. For those of you that are visiting for the first time today, I had hair yesterday. And so, all right, so maybe not. And so I'm like, really, Lord? Throw it out. Because I was going to take you from Genesis to Revelation today. Because God said, their patient is Easter. And you can't tell me God's wrong because we know better. As I was looking at the scriptures, and I said, "All right, Lord, I'll put away my idea and I'll take yours." And I want you to see today that we know Easter is about the empty tomb, amen. We know that the Easter is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we know without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would have no hope. If we look at all the other little g gods, they're still in the grave. If you look for Buddha, you will find, and listen, I'm not being disrespectful to any other religion, if you will, because see, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so there's a huge distinction of what's going on. And so if you look at all the other religions, and you will find Buddha is still in the grave. And as a matter of fact, people go to his grave side and worship him at the graveside. And if you go to Muhammad, you will see they still go to his graveside and they worship him at the graveside. Why? Because they're still in the grave. Not my Savior, not my God, not my Lord. He is risen. On the third day, on Sunday, which is why we celebrate Easter on Sunday, why we have church on Sunday, because it's the first day of the week that we come together. Because our Savior, Jesus Christ, and by the way, he's your Savior whether you believe it or not. Right? I love if you look in Matthew chapter 4, don't go there, but for sake of time, in Matthew chapter 4, you'll find Satan is tempting Jesus Christ. Remember that? He tempts him. It was 40 days that Jesus had fasted, and then when he was weak, Satan attacked, and this is what we see all throughout. And so what happens is every time that Satan tries to tempt Jesus, Jesus says this to Satan, "Don't tempt the Lord your God." He says that to Satan. Well, we know Satan's powerful, but we know Jesus is all powerful. And so as we look at this, and we know that no matter who you are, Jesus Christ is your God, your Savior. Now, whether you believe on him as Savior, that's going to be up to you. And of course, we'll talk more about that later. But nonetheless, he died and paid the price for you and I. That's Good Friday. And then he resurrects from the dead. That is Sunday, 3 days later. And that is why we're here this morning. And so as I was looking at this, I thought, hey, you know what? How many here got an Easter basket? That's a serious question. How many got an Easter basket? Some of you are looking around like, should I admit it? I got one. We're in church. Maybe those aren't acceptable. Well, let me tell you something. My wife got one. My girls got one. I got one. Now, my daughters were come out and they're like, "Why didn't you hide them this year?" I think it was the first year that it wasn't. Am I saying too much? Well, because, you know, adults take care of each other. Anyway, so you know, we enjoy this, right? I know in my wife's was everything dark chocolate. Somebody likes that. Pomegranates in dark chocolate, caramel with dark chocolate, triple chocolate, dark chocolate. And I'm like, there is no fear of me touching that. Right? So all those calories, they're hers. As wonderful as she looks, and they'll never make a difference. So there you go on her. So anyway, when I was looking at the baskets, and I thought, you know what? The first Easter Sunday service was Sunday evening after the resurrection. Jesus shows up in the upper room where the disciples are hiding out for fear of their life. And Jesus shows up, and of course he calms them all down. But as I look through the passage, I've seen five things that I feel like Jesus put into their basket, spiritual basket, if you will, okay? Because they didn't have, the bunnies weren't born yet. And so, some of you parents are going, shoot me, and I'm trying to avoid death by hair hanging, hair. Never mind. Anyway, so as I was looking at this and I went, okay, Jesus put five things into their spiritual basket. And that's what I want to share with you today, is the five things that Jesus put in there, because I think that it's for all of us. I think that Easter, Jesus set the precedence of what he gives his children, his disciples. And when we walk out of here, I want you to see those five things, and I believe they apply to you and I. So open your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Yeah, I had all this stuff that I was gonna do, and then when my idea got thrown out, all that other stuff went with it. So we started over. John chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 19. We're going to read 19 through 29. And if you have a marker, I want you to mark in your Bible. And you go, can we do that? Yes. If you have a highlighter, highlight. If you have a bulletin, I know there's a place for notes, and I want you to write these five things down. I'm encouraging you to write these five things down somewhere so that if the time comes when you're struggling, you can go back and pull this out to be encouraged. Amen? So in John chapter 20, verse 19, and we're just going to read through it, and then we're going to stop and go back and break it down. But I want to give you the whole picture. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. So what day is that? What time? Evening. There you go. Some of you are like, I don't know what time it was. Evening. It was in the evening on Sunday. So it's the first Easter, guys. I'm just saying. And it's that evening. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I'll stop right there just for a second. I want you to see, here comes Jesus. Easter Sunday night, they're in the upper room. They're having their service. They're having their time. Jesus comes and he blesses them and he touches them and he gives them all these things that they need and that they're going to need to be successful. But there's one person missing, and this person is Doubting Thomas. We have some Doubting Thomases in here, I'm just going to say. Don't raise your hand if it's you. But we have Doubting Thomases in here. And so what's happened is, I want you to see, because there's two people here. And this is so, I don't mean this to divide the room, but we're going to divide the room just for illustration's sake, okay? So here is the Doubting Thomas non-believers. You'll be all right. It's only illustration. And so here are the disciples that believe and they're with Jesus. And don't let your head swell up, because it's only an illustration. And so what we have is, we have a division among the disciples. But the division isn't brought on because of Jesus. The division is brought on because of attitude. The division is brought on because of the heart, the attitude of the heart. And so there's some in here that you love Jesus, and there's some in here that you're here because somebody invited you and you want to honor that. And I thank you for coming today and being a part of Connecting Point Church, and I hope to get to meet you afterwards and get to spend some time with you saying hello. So here's the other half of this. In verse 24, chapter 20, verse 24 in John, it says this: "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands and prints and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord, my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" And so what you had was, you had the disciples over here, they were with Jesus, and then you had Doubting Thomas. And Thomas, it was in his heart. And he says, "You know what? Unless I," and then he goes on, he says, "I will not believe." And so he had already made a decision to divide himself. But yet Jesus came and offered his gifts to go into the basket. I want you to see the first thing that he offers is peace. And he doesn't just offer it once, he offers it twice. In John 20, 19. In John 20, 19, he says, "Then the same day, the evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, there was fear. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be with you.'" And so the first thing he gives them to put in their basket is peace. And not once, but twice, because in verse 21, he says the same thing: "Peace be with you." Can you imagine, guys, what it's like? And we can, to be quite honest with you, because there's some that they just don't believe. And they don't believe, and they struggle, and they got a heavy heart, and they don't know what to do, and all of a sudden anxiety sets in, and they just don't know where to go. And of course, they remind you of the squirrel trying to cross the street, right? Emotionally, they're a wreck. And then you find a Christian, or you find someone that loves Jesus, and they go to him and they go, "What's your secret? How can you stay so calm?" And you say, "Well, I have the peace of God." "I don't want to hear that." "Well, that's the only answer I have for you. God gives us peace, and he promises that." And so we see the first thing that goes in the basket is the peace of God. Jesus gives them peace. He says, "Look, peace be with you." And he gives it to them twice. Guys, I'm telling you, Easter should be a reminder for us that we don't need to be anxious. We don't need to have fear. We don't need to allow the things of Satan and the things of the world to overwhelm us. We have the peace of God to calm our hearts, to stable our minds. How many of you have ever thought something and then all of a sudden it became a runaway train? Like you just kept feeding that crazy thought and it got worse and your anxiety got worse. And all of a sudden, before you knew it, somebody had to give you something to just bring you down because you allowed your mind to run crazy. Well, Jesus says, I give you peace. You don't need to do that. You know, if you have the peace of the world, it's going to let you down. If you have the things of the world, it's going to rust, it's going to decay, it's going to rot. But man, the peace of God, invaluable. So the first thing in the basket is peace. The second thing that we see in the basket is proof. You know, Thomas, he missed the peace. We even see it as we were reading about Thomas, and he's like, I will not believe. Unless I can, and he lists his whole things, I will not believe. Very obstinate, had a hard heart. And so he missed the peace, and so he says, I want proof. I want proof. That's what Thomas wanted. Well, look, Jesus comes and he gives proof, and if Thomas would have been where he was supposed to be, he would have got what he was looking for. He would have got the next thing in his basket, and that is proof. If you look in John 20:20, in John 20:20, he says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He gave them proof. He said, look at the holes. Look where they stabbed me with the spear. You want proof? Here it is. It wasn't enough that he came through the wall. I'm just thinking, man, I'd be like, there you go, it's yours. He's like, look, you know, my sermon before was, what would it take for you to believe? That was my sermon that I didn't have peace about preaching. What would it take for you to believe? I'm going to tie it in because I put a lot of work into it. Okay, Lord, I'll be obedient, right? But let's pray. Dear Lord, forgive me for that one. Amen. All right. So as we look at this, he says, here's your proof. If Thomas would have been where he was supposed to be, he would have had his proof. But I do think back, I think back into Genesis where God calls Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And everybody witnessed these 10 plagues. And the Israelites, they run to the river, and then they get to the Red Sea, and when they get to the sea, they're like, what do we do? And God has this huge wall to protect them from this oncoming army of Pharaoh. And then God divides the Red Sea. They cross on dry ground. And listen, the dividing of the Red Sea, it was, some people say, oh, it was a dried up swamp. Hello, no. It wasn't a swamp, it was a sea, S-E-A, right? And by the way, they estimated to get that crowd of Israelites across the Red Sea that it had to be divided, that it was a mile wide, which meant you had half mile high walls of water. Can you imagine crossing in that? Go! Right? Leave the women and children, go! Right? Can you imagine? All right. So anyway, that was a bad one. But then 3 days later, what did they do? You brought us out here to die. They didn't believe anymore. They forgot. All throughout Scripture, we see God doing these amazing things, and people wanted more proof, and they wanted more proof, and they wanted more proof. And you know, today people want proof. I have a guy on the Facebook page. And man, I'm going to tell you, every time I post something, it used to be a thorn in my side. Now I just take joy. But he's like, give me proof God exists. Give me proof he doesn't. You know? Well, we evolved. You may have. Right? I was created. But we want proof. Then we get to into the New Testament, and which is actually from the Old Testament. If we read in Luke Lazarus and the rich man, right? And the rich man is he's in the grave, in the desert, if you will, in the heat, the hot, the torment. And he's like, send Lazarus to put a drop of water on my tongue, and he won't do it. And then he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to tell my brothers. I got brothers, man. I don't want them to die and come here. And then Father Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't believe them, they won't believe somebody that comes back from the dead. They wanted proof all throughout Scripture. Jesus told them that he did things, and even though he did things, they wanted more proof. And some of you sitting here today, you go, I need more proof. There isn't any more. Look around, all of creation. How much more proof do you want? See, it doesn't matter what happens. We want proof. And Jesus comes in and he says, here's proof. Look, look. And Thomas, what did Thomas say? If I can't see it, it's not real. I want proof. Thomas, are you kidding me? You were there. You walked with Jesus. You witnessed all of this. I want more proof. And so I think the second thing that goes in the basket is Jesus said, here's your proof. Today, what is our proof? Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you're a new creature, old things pass away, all things become new. I'm going to tell you, when you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, your whole insides change. And when your whole insides change, your outside changes. And there is no denying it. Listen, people say, how can you be so confident? I'm not the same guy. Man, I was hard as concrete. And God touched me, and all of a sudden I became this ooey gooey stuff in his hands. You know, them eggs that you crack open, it looks like snot that rolls out. Yeah, one of those things. And so, and it's like, oh my goodness. He so touched my life, changed my life. How could I ever deny him? If he's touched your life, how can you ever deny him? And so what proof is there? Man, he physically touches your life. Physically touches your heart. It's undeniable. Why do you think so many have died for Jesus Christ? Why do you think so many stand in the face of opposition, refusing to be turned away? Because you know what? God gave them proof. When they got saved, Jesus said, look, here are my hands, here's my side. And we said, I believe. We didn't need to see it. Man, God changed everything about us. It's undeniable. I couldn't deny Jesus. I couldn't deny him. I just can't. And people go, well, you know, you're going to lose friends. I hope you miss me. Well, you're going to lose your job. God owns everything, man. He'll open another door. Well, it's going to cost you this. Yeah, well, that's better than what it was costing me. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, God is so real. There's no way. You just can't deny him. I can't deny him. He gives proof. That was what he put in their basket. So the first thing that he gave was peace. The second thing that he gave was proof. The third that he gave, hey, you guys might get out of here early today. I doubt it, but hey, there's always miracles. All right, so the third thing that he gave the disciples was pleasure. In John 20:20, it says that after he gave them proof, look what he says in 20:20. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Remember, they went up to the room and for fear of their life. And then here comes Jesus through the wall. Hey, what's up, guys? I don't think he did that, but you know what I'm saying. Like he comes through the wall and he says, look, remember when he was walking across the water and the disciples were afraid and they went, it's a ghost, and they were all freaked out, and he goes, don't be afraid. It's me. And they rejoiced and they had peace and they were excited. Because listen, when Jesus is around, fear goes away. When Jesus is around, peace settles in. When Jesus is around, there's proof of his existence and that his hand, his presence is on you. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited to have these things in my basket. I'm pretty excited for Easter and the gifts that we receive. Some of you I know have had battles, and you've let yourself run away with these struggles. And the minute you're reminded, or the minute you're told about Jesus, and we replace all the chaos going on up here, and Jesus grabs hold of this, the waters calm, don't they? They just calm right down. Listen, without the resurrection, none of this would be. Without the resurrection, you would have no hope. Without the resurrection, you wouldn't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. When chaos is off the chart, you wouldn't have the hand of God that just comes along and says, listen, it's going to be okay. This church has faced death lately with loved ones having passed away. Man, what would we do if we didn't have the hand of God to guide us? I did a funeral. This was about 5-6 years ago, and I did a funeral for a friend of mine. Her brother had committed suicide, and so we get to the graveside, and all of a sudden she is hyperventilating. And so I went up to her and I put my arm around her and I go, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And she goes, yes. I go, then why are you acting like you have no hope? Why are you acting like you don't have God? Why are you acting like that this isn't the things of God? You should be showing the strength of Christ. Just like that. Whew. She leveled right out. See, I'm telling you, man, God is real, and He gives us peace, and He shows proof of it, and then we take pleasure. We take pleasure in Him. We take pleasure in the gifts that He gives us, if we believe. If you don't believe, don't expect a whole lot, okay? Because you're not going to get it. We have to believe. I want you to see the fourth thing. How many did I say we had? Man, we are moving too fast. I got to slow down. Let's look at the fourth thing. Is it still hot in here? Whew. Man, open up that back door if you would, sir, and let some fresh air in here. This, because for me, I'm roasting. All right, everybody hold their breath for the next 30 minutes. This room will level out instantly. All right. So let's look at the fourth thing that Jesus gave. And I think this is, I don't know that there is any of these that are not equally as important to each, and they interlock with one another. And I think that they're absolute wonderful gifts that God has given us to put in our basket. The fourth one we find in John 20:21, and that is purpose. Purpose. What are we here for? There's got to be more to life than this, right? How many have ever shouted that question out? Frustration sets in. We don't know what to do with ourselves. We don't know what to do with the chaos. We don't know what to do with all the emotion and the anger. We just don't know what to do. And we go, there's got to be more. And you know, today society is crazy. I don't know, have you ever noticed that? Like, they're insane. Just look in their eyes. They're rolling around. They're nuts. And you go, because nobody knows what to do with themselves. Have you ever driven around just kind of numb in the brain, having no clue what to do next? Am I the only one? Right? How many times have we're driving around, you're like, okay, Lord, I love you, but. And we have we don't even know what to do with ourselves sometimes, right? You've been there? Well, I want you to see here that He gives us purpose. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Listen, let me establish this a second time. Peace. Peace. That peace involves strength. Man, when you're calm, you're strong. Listen, and not only that, but when you know that God has His hand on you, you're strong. When you're confident because you know God is there, you're strong. And so the fourth thing that we see is purpose. And look what he says here. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Peace to you. Listen. Just put this in your heart. With me, you can take confidence. And that confidence will give you peace. But then look what he says. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Purpose. Guys, do you know why most of us run around struggling with what we're supposed to do with our life? You know, we think, oh, go get a career, go get a job, go get, and you need to, because you don't need to be a burden. So you, if you're able, you need to work. But he says, listen, I'm sending you. Well, Lord, where are you sending me? Hawaii? And are you going to fly me there? That way I don't have to get on United. And so, I Lord, where are you going to... That was bad. Where are you going to send me? And he says, I'm going to send you out so that you can put these gifts in somebody else's basket as well. I'm going to send you out. And listen, if you keep my purpose first, you'll never wonder what you're here for. If you keep me first, and if you establish me in your heart, if you remember why I resurrected, you'll never walk around looking for something to do. We're bored because usually we're trying to satisfy our desires, but we don't even know what our desires are half the time. How many ever wanted ice cream, and then you go and you get the ice cream and you eat it and you're like, oh, that's not what I wanted. That just didn't satisfy. Right? And so then you're like, well, hey, let's go, and then you go get something else. Or man, you know what? I don't know what to do. I'm bored. I need. So then you go shopping and you spend all this money to buy things you don't need. And then you get home and you're like, oh, that's satisfied for a moment. What do I do now? And then you get your credit card bill, so you start weeping because it just didn't take care of it. And Jesus says, listen, I give you purpose. I give you purpose for your life, and that purpose is to go tell somebody about me. Give somebody that hope that they don't have. I'm telling you, if Christians did what God asked them to do, we would have won the world over. I really believe that. I believe that we would have had one of the greatest impacts ever if Christians would have gone like Jesus sent. The reason that people aren't doing things for God is because they're not doing things for God. Okay, that was easy math. All right. So as we look at this, and he says, listen, the fourth thing that I'm going to give you is purpose. He gave them a commission. And you know the truth is, guys, every one of us desire to have a purpose. There is not one person in this room that does not desire to have a purpose for their existence. There is not one person in this room that does not cry out, what am I supposed to do, Lord? And our society, here's the thing, you know, I would love to go back to the days of farming and get rid of all this technology. And do you know why? Because they had purpose back then. They had things to do. You know when oh, some of you are not going to like this, and I know, but it'd be all right. It's Easter, and that requires forgiveness too. It goes along with resurrection. So, do you know why we get bored and we do silly things? Because we don't have nothing to do with ourselves. You know, the Bible says in Genesis that God said, listen, I'm sending you out. Your job is to till the ground. Work. And today, there's nothing physical anymore to do. And so, we just kind of go mindless and lose our purpose. And then we get defiant and disobedient because we want to satisfy the lust of the flesh. That's why Milton's moving. And so it just happens sometimes. He knows I love him. He got up and walked out, not me. And so, but you know what happens, guys? We lose our sense of purpose. And then what do? Remember when David, King David, he was supposed to go out and fight, go out to war, and instead he decided to just stay home and do nothing. And all of a sudden, he was not fulfilling his purpose. And what happened to him? He made some really poor decisions because he started satisfying himself and not doing what he was supposed to be doing. So I want you to see here that one of the things that Jesus gives us is purpose. So he gives us peace, and he gives us proof, pleasure, purpose, and then the fifth thing that he gives us is power. See, God doesn't call us that he doesn't equip us. And some people say, well, listen, I'm how can God use me? I'm not equipped. Well, listen, God doesn't always call the equipped. He equips the called. See, when I got called into ministry, guess where I went for 4 years before I came here and started a church? College. What did he do? He equipped me. He started equipping me way before I went to college, and I went to college at 35. Graduated at 39. So don't think you're ever too old. God says, I got a plan for you. I have a purpose for you, and I will empower you to do this. And so here, he sends me off to school. And then, of course, you know the scripture where it says that he lights the footsteps. It's one at a time. Because he didn't tell me about New York until I got to school. And by that point, I feel like I said, all right, Lord, you got 4 years to change your mind. And he equipped me to come to New York to start a church to tell you about Jesus. That's my purpose. He sent me. He's done the same for you. Now, he may not send you off somewhere to start a church. He may not send you off anywhere, but he may send you to your neighbor. He may send you to your coworker. He may send you to a stranger across the table, the restaurant. But he'll empower you. You know, when I moved here, Sherry and I would always say, I don't know how we're going to do this. God, if you don't do this, it's not going to happen. And man, God showed up, and God has shown up all the time, right on time. How many have been praying about the land that we talked about? So I had a meeting this week. Matter of fact, yesterday I met the gentleman about the land. And of course, all the way there to have the meeting, I'm praying, Lord, 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 Lord. I'm crying out. Lord, just be in this. And so I get there and I have the meeting. The meeting lasts 2.5 hours. At the end of the meeting, he said, keep praying. And so God shows what he wants, because that land is his. It is not ours. And we want to honor God with it. He said, pray it through. Okay, did you hear that? Pray it through. So I need you guys to keep praying it through because this is what has to happen. And so God is continually giving power. Look what he did here with the disciples. Verse 22. Look here in verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Guys, where do we get our power from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He draws us. He guides us. He equips us. He teaches us. He convicts us. Listen, the Holy Spirit, if you are a child of God, that power is within. And that's where you get your peace from. You get empowered by God. And he said here, he, Jesus, breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He empowered them. Those were the five things, wonderful things that Jesus put in their basket on Easter. And I believe that he gave the same things to us. I want you to quickly see some things that I want you to see that Thomas didn't get those. Doubting Thomas. He didn't get those, and here's why. First off, he missed Jesus. His heart was stubborn, if you will. In John 20:25, the other disciples therefore said to him, being Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Can you imagine how excited they are? Listen, I mean, because how many times have we seen something good, you rush to tell somebody? Okay, not anymore. We used to rush to tell people. Now we just post it on Instagram. Right? Right? Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's just my kids. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see... in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Right? You got that? Right? Some of you go, I'm not going to do anything until Jesus comes down, looks me in the eye, and tells me to do it. Right? We miss the empowerment because we have this stubbornness of doubting Thomas. I will not unless it's my way. It's got to be the way I lay it out. And you know the truth is, guys, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen? But Thomas, he is stubborn. And the other disciples, they say to him, and he's like, you know what? It's going to be my way. And so we see that that takes us into the second thing is he sets up his stipulation. Unless I. It's so funny because, guys, you know, Easter is not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. And yet, we will set back and go, unless I'm not going to believe. Unless I'm not going to do. And we establish, like we pour it in concrete. I know you're God, and I know you said it. But unless it fits what I want, I'm not going to do it. And so Thomas misses this Easter service because he's all about him. Do you see these other disciples? They're there and they're about Jesus, and Jesus fills their basket with some wonderful things. But Thomas, he's over here all by himself, sucking his thumb, and he's like, if it ain't the way I want it, it's not going to happen. And you know, guys, God doesn't work that way. His source of unbelief is, I will not. It's a willful disobedience in John 20:25. At the very bottom, he lays it all out and he goes, I will not believe. His source is because he's got a hard heart. Some of you are sitting here today and you have a hard heart toward Christ. You're mad at God because maybe something didn't go right the way you wanted it to go, and so you got mad at him. Or maybe you lost a loved one, and that's difficult. And guys, it's very difficult. Last week, my uncle died. So believe me, I get it. And so we get mad at God, and we go, God, I'm not going to listen to you. And what we do is we miss the blessings. And I just want you to know that, do you know why my uncle died? I'll tell you why my uncle died. Because that's part of life. Everyone dies. Why would I get mad at God when it's part of life? Why do I want to get mad at God when something doesn't go my way? Because the truth is, that's a part of life. Do you realize that life is unfair for everyone? Therefore, life is fair. You didn't like that either. Okay. And some of you will catch on to that on your way home. And then here's the other problem that Thomas had that caused him to miss Easter. Remember I said it was all about him? In John 20:25, look what he says. He says, right here, unless I see, and unless I put my finger on, and unless I put my hand in, and listen, if God is not going to be physical where I can look at him and I can touch him and I can size him all up to see if I want him, I'm not interested. That's why you miss some of the candy, if you will. That's why Thomas missed Easter. He missed the power of God, the purpose of God, the peace of God. He missed all of that because it was all about him. And look. If I can't, he's not real if I can't do this. And some of you sitting here today, you have the same problem that Thomas has. That's why you didn't have an Easter basket this morning. You have the same problem. You want everything the way you want it. And if it doesn't come down the way you want it, you're not interested in Easter. And Jesus says, I have all this stuff to give you. Man, I want to empower you. Man, I want you to have peace, and I want to deliver you, and I want you to be purposeful in your life. Listen, remember what did he tell Jeremiah? I have a future and a hope for you. And we throw it away because it doesn't look the way we want it to look. It doesn't feel the way we want it to feel. It doesn't taste the way we thought it would taste. And yet Jesus said, I know that you're going to be like Thomas, and I know that you're going to have a hard heart, and I know you're going to doubt me, and I know you're going to mock me, and I know that you're going to cast this aside. But it doesn't matter because I still love you more than anybody that has ever existed loves you, and I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to pay your price so that you might have an opportunity to live. Easter is the resurrection of that decision. Easter is all of that going on the cross to the grave and then conquering it all to say, I am the Lord and I can do everything I just said I would do. And he was showing them here. Doubting Thomas, he wanted proof. You know, I didn't give you guys this one. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then it goes on in verse 6, and it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're here today, Jesus didn't die for your terms. He died for you. He didn't die to take things away from you. He died to give everything to you. He resurrected from the dead to show the dead resurrect. That's us. He gave a wonderful, wonderful Easter basket to all the disciples that was there. And to the one that wasn't there, doubting Thomas, Jesus waited 8 days later to get Thomas. Fast forward 2,000 plus years, and he's waiting to get you. He wants to give you that wonderful basket that he gave the disciples on the first Easter evening. Peace. Guys, are you struggling? Are you confused? Do you seem desperate at times? Jesus says, I'll give you the peace. Man, I'll give you amazing peace. And then he says, I'll even prove it to you. And he gives them proof. And then at that point, when we believe, we take great pleasure. I'm going to tell you guys, I've lived a life that is a whole lot less than something that I can brag about. Sometimes there's a lot of things I just want to hide. And yet, Jesus gives me pleasure because I believe on him. And then when he gives us that pleasure because we recognize he's God, he gives us purpose. Are you tired of living a seeming like non-reason for living? There's no purpose, there's no direction, and you're like, there's got to be more. I'm telling you, Jesus will give you the more. He'll give you the more. And then he'll empower you to do what he gives you to do. That more, he'll empower you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. So he gives you all this and he sends you out, and then he says, oh, wait a minute, I'm coming beside you. Let's go, come on, I got you. And he does it. He just wants us to be there and to be faithful. Easter. Without the resurrection, there is no Easter. But I just want you to see, on Easter evening, Jesus came and filled their basket full of the most invaluable things that we could ever get. And in a day and a time in our society where it almost seems hopeless, where it almost seems that we're powerless, and that there's waves of evil and corruption that just seem to kind of run over us sometimes, Jesus says, not you, not what's mine. I'll empower them, I'll keep them. Guys, that's Easter. The resurrection is what we're celebrating. But today, I want you to see that even through all of that, everything that God did from the beginning of time, if you look at all of creation, and you look at everything all the way through, everything that Jesus did, he did for you and I. He did for us, for our pleasure, for our existence, and not just existence, but I mean for us to live a wonderful life. And to, he said, look, I give you life that you might enjoy all things, and we want all things so that we can enjoy life, but we have it backwards. This is Easter. Easter evening, guys, we see that Christ has come back. Listen, as soon as he died, that evening, he comes back. And what does he do? He equips his disciples. You're not alone. Listen, I didn't leave. Here I am. I'm alive. And now I'm going to give you everything you need to be successful. The problem is we think we know more than Jesus does. And so we're Thomas at times, and we leave his stuff to the side and go off on our own direction to get what we want. And then we miss it. Guys, if you're struggling, it's not because Jesus wasn't faithful, it's because we're not faithful. If you're struggling, it's not because Jesus didn't do what he said he was going to do. It's because we don't believe him. Easter is a time to change that. Easter is the time to stop being doubting Thomas and to come over and get your basket that he has filled for you and for me, each and every one of us, for ourselves. There's no need to go on being defeated or feeling powerless or purposeless. God says, no, I've given you all things, and now go. Listen, I've equipped you, and not only have I equipped you and sent you, but I'm going to go with you. Happy Easter. He fills our baskets, guys, full of everything we need because he never leaves us needing. And the only thing that he leaves us wanting is more of him when we're not Thomas. Where are you at today? I just want you to take a look at yourself this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I just want you to take a moment. Just take a moment and look at your life. If you know Jesus and you feel like you don't have the peace of God or the power of God or the purpose of God, you don't have the things of God that he's given you, then you have to ask yourself why. And truly look at your heart, guys. I mean, listen, look within yourself and ask yourself why. Have I left? I mean, listen, God's never left. He is the same. The only thing that changes is us. The Bible says that he never changes. And so just look at yourself and go, okay, Lord, show me. If I have left, show me where and how. And then your desire should be to return. Return, because he's got a basket for you. And it's full of all the promises. If you're here today and you don't know the peace of God, you feel like there is nothing in life to live for, and you don't seem to have the pleasure that comes with that peace, and you don't feel to have the purpose or the power of God on your life, and you wonder and you're struggling, and you say, I need proof. Well, guys, I can only tell you there's one way to get the proof. I mean, you can look around in all of life and see that it's exactly the way the Bible says it is. And we can say there's your proof. And you can look in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where God says that he's put the existence of him in the heart of every man. And I can tell you there's your proof. But if you want personal proof, there's only one way. And that is to admit you're a sinner. I didn't say you're a bad person. I said you're a sinner. What's the difference between being a sinner and a bad person? Well, not a whole lot, really, except for as a sinner, we just miss the marks of God, doing it his way. And because of that, Jesus had to die on the cross to pay that price for you and I, so that we could have a basket if we believe. You say, well, how do I believe? It's real simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is between you and God. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and you believe that he conquered death and hell and is now at the right hand of the Father, that is belief. That is, and you got to believe it in your heart, not just your head. Like, it's got to be real to you. If it's not real to you, then you'll struggle with it and you won't get the basket. And so if you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, I want you to pray this prayer, understanding, listen, the words are not magical. They're not what saves you. It is your heart belief. That's what makes the difference. And so you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, today I believe on you. Today I repent of all the wrong I've ever done, whether it be the tiniest lie, or thievery, or whatever it is, no matter what it is, from the smallest to the largest, I repent. I ask that you forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe he conquered death and hell. And so today, I surrender.